You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. It's wonderful to have you with us here on 702. Thank you for being with us. We love being in your company and you in ours. And I'm wishing our Muslim listeners a blessed Eid Mubarak. In a moment, we'll talk about e-tolls, which will be a thing of the past by midnight today. How are you feeling about that? I'm interested to find out from you if you have been paying for e-tolls, or if you are one of those that have protested against the system because maybe you had issues with the lack of transparency or the consultation process, whatever your reason is. And if you were paying, do you feel like government should have appreciated and incentivized you for being a law-abiding citizen? How do you feel about the fact that you must still pay what you owe? That's still an expectation. Your outstanding fees. And will you be paying that if there are issues with the Gauteng government finding financial institutions that can help settle that debt? Let me know your thoughts on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. So between 10 and 11 o'clock, I'm so excited this morning because I'll be hanging out with the GOAT, a soccer legend, one of the country's greatest ever football stars. He's not only a sporting icon here on home soil, but abroad as well. He's known for his talent, his warm personality, his willingness to help others, his loyalty. That's a big thing for him. And he's achieved so much in his sporting career. And many parents out there, I'm sure, have named their children after him. He was part of the 1996 winning squad that helped South Africa win the Africa Cup of Nations. He captained Kaizer Chiefs. He's been at Bafana. Nelson Mandela called him a hero. Who am I talking about? Yeah, got it right. Lucas Radebe. We've actually had him on the show back in 2020 during COVID. Yeah? During the darkness of COVID, when we were all confused about what's going on, we had him on. I mean, I'm so glad that he's coming back today, and we're going to have him properly in studio between 10 and 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we're going to do our Thursday dialogue. I want us to talk about the DA's posture today towards smaller parties. And the question I'm asking you this morning on our Thursday dialogue is whether this posture towards smaller parties is justified, or do you find it divisive? And what is the DA scared of? They seem to have dropped the EFF as public enemy number one. They're now going after Rais Mzansi. And I wonder if their internal polls telling the DA something that we probably don't know. You may have seen recently John Steenhuisen saying smaller or new parties that have declined to join the multi-party charter are dishonest and selfish. He's actually described those parties, such as the Patriotic Alliance, Rais Mzansi, the Good Party, as political mercenaries and the Western Cape's most significant threat. He believes that these parties merely create a distraction for voters, basically, which could open the door for a possible ANC-EFF alliance in the party's stronghold province of the Western Cape. That's what he believes. He said these smaller parties acted as political mercenaries for the ANC. I think it's clear that the DA is facing renewed pressure from the PA. And there are also new parties that are targeting the Western Cape, such as Action SA and Rais Mzansi, who all appeal to the DA's traditional liberal voter base, so to speak. But to call small parties popcorn parties hell-bent on ushering in corruption, I think it's just wild. I mean, when you look at the numbers, for instance, and we'll go into detail about this at 11 o'clock, the DA won 51% of the vote in 2009. Which then rose to about 59% in 2014. And then it dropped to about 55% or so in 2019. Just late last year, there was an Ipsos poll that put the DA support in the upcoming elections at only about 44% in the Western Cape. So the suggestion there was that there will be a possibility of a coalition government in the province. In fact, I've been reading election analysis by Wayne Suzman, who says, from the by-election results, you can see the DA has been losing ground in areas like in George, you know, in parts of the Cape Winelands, in Paarl, Malmesbury, and they are relatively, these are areas with relatively high population. So I suppose it makes sense that the DA is so scared of these smaller parties. But I wonder if this posture towards the smaller parties is helping or destroying the DA. Is it appealing to voters? I mean, the party wants to claim that to prove that the Western Cape is best, 150,000 people a year are moving there, as if in Gauteng, which, by the way, is now the most populous province, doesn't have the majority of people moving here. I mean, Gauteng's economy is in the top five, right? Top four, top five in Africa, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to hear your thoughts at 11 o'clock about this posture by the DA towards smaller parties. My thoughts, very clear here. I think that smaller parties, first of all, I think that this is quite divisive by the DA. I think it's an illiberal approach. Smaller parties have as much the right to contest elections wherever, just like the bigger parties. And South Africans must be the ones that make up their minds on which party they are giving a chance to. So what are your thoughts on this posture? I'm going to bring in some political analysts at 11 o'clock. I'll bring in Rise Mzansi, the PA, and the other parties that the DA is going after. That's the show coming up over the next 3 hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
So yesterday we went to Katlehong together with the team because the second installment of the 702 Elections Town Hall is happening in Katlehong. I'm really excited about it. So if you are in Katlehong, I want you to just put it on your notes, diarize it, come through and join us for our second installment of the 702 Elections Town Hall. We started in, where did we start? In Garankuwa. Yes, we started in Garankuwa last month. And this month, we are going to Katlehong. We've got other areas we'll be visiting as well. In Katlehong, we went to an area called Go. What was that area? Go. What was it? Where's Clive? It was called Go Admin. Yes, Go Admin. Apparently, that's what they call that area. Go Admin. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to be at the DHW. Community Hall, DHW Community Hall, co-admin in Katlehong. Please arrive at like 7 o'clock in the morning so that we can arrange your seating. We're going to be live like by 8:30 in the morning. We need to start getting ready to go live. And of course, we're going to bring in political parties. We're going to bring in the authorities, people in government. We want you to talk to them about what's been happening in Katlehong. And I want you to actually send us maybe emails already before next week, Wednesday. Why don't you send us emails on cm@702.co.za? Maybe you live in and around Katlehong, maybe just outside Katlehong. What are your service delivery concerns? So that we know that when we come on Wednesday, those are the things we're focusing on. So send your emails on cm@702.co.za. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors. You can come in your DA t-shirt, ANC, EFF, Rise Mzansi t-shirt, Action SA flag. Just come and be part of the 702 Elections Town Hall on the 17th of April. That's next week, Wednesday. Please arrive as early as possible. 16 minutes now after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Good morning, Clement. Look, I've never paid for e-tolls and I will not do. Because we never asked for it. We are cash-strapped citizens, and where or how must we fund this rubbish? The ANC, on a daily basis, deliberately treats us citizens like filth. And even if I was going to vote for them, this little stunt that we must pay for things that we didn't ask for is the final nail in this coffin for me. I will definitely vote for a different party. It is absolutely ridiculous. They need to slim down the cabinet or find another way to pay for this thing. Because honestly, we cannot. We are struggling as consumers, as citizens. This is Diketso in Veldtevreden Park.
Good morning, Clement. It's Selo from Tsakani. I'm not going to pay for any e-toll. I've never paid. I've never even think of paying. It didn't even cross my mind that I need to pay. I will never pay. It is the ANC that implemented this to us. Let the ANC pay for it. It's Jacob Zuma must go and find, who's that guy? Sbundebele, I think. They were the one who came up with this stupid idea. So they must pay it. I will never, and I won't pay.
Hey, yeah, so passionate. I hear you, my brother. Do you guys think e-tolls is still like a hot political potato, for lack of a better word, or lack of a better phrasing? I mean, I don't know. Back in the day, maybe 5 years ago, it was a big elections issue where the ANC felt if we announce that we're going to scrap it, people are going to vote for us. I think the ship has sailed. I really think it's too late. And look, you've got to give credit to the Gauteng government. You've got to give credit to civil society. You've got to give credit to COSATU as well. Because they have been fighting hard to try and put pressure on government so that they can scrap the system. And finally, after a decade of lots of legal battles, even with Outer, e-tolls are coming to an end. And I think motorists of Gauteng, you need to take a bow. Because many of you have said from the beginning, no transparency, the consultation process was weird. And there are a lot of people that said, I would rather go to jail. And I think this is an example of civil disobedience. When government says, oh, we are a listening government. No, you're a government that was put under pressure to listen. Because if you were a listening government, from the onset already, when concerns were raised about the system, you would have already started conversations about how do we change it? How do we have different conversations about the structure of the system? But you wait. I mean, how much money has Outer lost in legal battles with government on this issue? So this is a victory for the public. It's a victory for civil society organizations because they've been opposing the system from the onset. The question now is, the people that have been paying, because you are a law-abiding citizen and you wanted to do the right thing, how do you feel now? Do you feel betrayed by government? The people that have not been paying, how do you feel about the system being scrapped now? I mean, there's issues around historic debt. We still don't know whether at some point people who owe and have a big e-tolls debt are still going to be required to pay that debt. I mean, there's a debt, if I'm not mistaken, that is currently at about 43 billion rand. Sandal says it will still collect the outstanding debt. So who pays for this historic debt? There are letters of demand that have been handed over to motorists. Some people were served, you know, default judgments to force them to pay for that. There was a time, I remember, when the Gauteng government, I think, agreed to pay about 30% of the debt. That's about 12, 13 billion rand. And Treasury would then be expected to pay about 70% of that debt. I don't know where those talks ended up. I know the Premier yesterday indicated that there's appetite from financial institutions to help the provincial government settle this debt. I love our freeways now compared to what they used to look like. I mean, let's be honest. Our freeways used to be congested. And because of the improvements that have been done, that has made life easy for us. How were those improvements done? That needed money. Money was used to service the construction and the maintenance of the roads. So how do you think we should pay for the improvements of roads? Must there be a fuel levy in Gauteng? Just for Gauteng? Like, how else do you think? Because I don't necessarily, and I don't think a lot of South Africans, I don't think you have a problem with paying for the improvements of roads because that makes our life easy. Traffic is not too congested. We're moving freely most of the time on the roads. So it makes our life easy. So how should we pay for the improvement of the road? Anne, you're calling us from Roodepoort. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I sat around the table about 12 years ago with a couple of advocates and lawyers. And at the time, they said to us, it could never succeed. First of all, the collection system is wrong. They should have put it straight through the licensing process. And let's say, for example, when you go and renew your car license, you pay an extra $50 a year. Then all vehicles pay, and vehicles are the ones that use the road. Secondly, there's already fuel levy taxes. There's already the licensing, and there's actual income tax. So there's already taxes that we're paying towards roads. And then the third reason why they say it could never succeed is in terms of the collection process. You cannot prosecute one person's offences as a basket. You have to prosecute each and every offence separately, because that is what administrative justice is.
Mm.
And there was no way that our courts could ever collect or have a system where they could force people to pay in the current way that they were trying to collect it. And the last thing is they crashed the post office.
Because that's where people were being informed about what they owed, no?
Yeah. Some fines were, let's say, R1.55.
Yeah.
And for that, they had to print a piece of paper.
Goodness.
They had to buy an envelope. They had to pay the post office. Okay. And that little system, that three-way paper envelope thingy, cost about R2.50 on average.
Yeah, I don't know how many of those I have at the house, Anne. Envelopes.
So think about it.
Yeah.
They didn't. If they had said right from the start, okay, we will add this to your, either they collect it through the post office where you go to the post office and pay and not have separate gantries and all that nonsense.
Mm.
If they collected it through the licensing system, but they went out and they created this incredible structure and system that cost more than the actual fines that we would have collected in 5 years.
And in Roodepoort, thank you so much for your call. Great contribution there. Matebele in Rustenburg. Hi.
Hello, Marimad.
Hey, Tada.
Oh, yes.
Sharp, man. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, the credit must go to Rotten Motorists, bikers, and civil organizations like AUTA.
Mm.
Because they were the ones who were fighting this government. I remember there was a time whereby AUTA went to parliament. One of the MP from the ruling party said to AUTA, they can jump and jump, but the e-tolls are here to stay.
Mm.
So they were not ready to scrap the e-tolls. So today, they want to take a credit of saying, no, the e-tolls are going to be scrapped. They are not the ones who decided to scrap the e-tolls. It's the Gauteng motorists and bikers who fought them, that we are not going to pay. Even when there was a march, I remember I went to the march, which was organized by COSATU.
Mm.
We marched to Sandal offices in Pretoria. We were not many, but we make our point.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want this e-toll, and they were aware about that. So they must not tell, Lusufi must not take credit. He must just chill.
So just chill.
he must just chill. On the 29th, then Utabona Sipoko.
Okay, Matebele in Rustenburg. Thanks for your call. Kustas in Midrand. Hi.
Yeah, Clement, good morning. Yeah, Clement, for me this morning, the shout out goes to Wayne Devenage and it goes to Helen Zill. A lot of people don't know that Helen Zill funded a lot of the work that Wayne Devenage did when he started. Now, I didn't even know who he was, but when he said we are not paying, I didn't hesitate, Clement, because I knew that the system was an unjust system. So I went before God, Clement, with a good conscience, and I'm like, I'm not paying. My conscience is very clear. I have no intention of paying. So, but also a message that I want to send was this. To people who are more individualistic in nature, when a community said, we are rebelling against the government, guys, we need to support those causes. Because generally, a government, they are very, what is that word? They're more bullies, man, if I want to use that word. So when a community says we're not paying, people should not pay. And when a community says we are marching, people should not join, regardless of the personal feelings and stuff. Because we are not an island as a person. So for those who are looking to get their money back, Clement, they didn't deserve to get that money back. Because they were paying in an unjust system. It's like you, a thief asking you to pay you back. A thief took your money, they won't pay. Mm. The government did exactly that because they didn't follow the law.
Yeah.
So they took the money, Clement, illegally. Therefore, they're not obliged to pay it back because it was an illegal system. But having said that, thanks to Wayne Duvenage and to all South Africans, to those who paid, next time, fall in line. In a good way, of course.
All right.
I would like to leave it there.
Kustas in Midrand, thank you so much for your call. He believes it was an illegal system. Not entirely. It's just a system that wasn't supported by the public because there were so many things wrong with them. And they were, even during the earlier consultations, they were told, this is not going to work. And South Africans are already financially squeezed. And because they're already contributing through other taxes to monies that can help improve the roads, why are you squeezing them further? Mavusana, you are in Alex. It's been a while, man. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Hey, Tada.
For me, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Clement?
Yes, go ahead, Mavusana. I can hear you.
Yeah, a friend of mine slept with my wife, friend of 25 years, slept with my wife, we sat down, we had a discussion, and we came to an agreement, and we carried on with the friendship. But when I found out he was paying for each of those at the end of the weekend, that was it. I stopped talking, that's it. And but this has been an unjust system, and we are paying, we've been paying the whole time, you know, we pay taxes, we pay the fuel levy, we pay when we the license discs, and we're not in as the roads were built for you, so now you have to pay. No, we've been paying taxes, so build the roads. That's what you're supposed to do as a government. So yeah, we shouldn't be made to feel guilty or obligated about the roads that we have. We've been paying and they're supposed to be built.
So Mavusana, I may have misunderstood you there. Are you saying that you've got a friend of 25 years who has slept with your wife and you spoke about it, you forgave him, but when you found out that he's paying for e-tolls, that was a deal breaker for you? That's when you ended the friendship?
You don't go back from there. From that, you don't recover.
Is that a true story?
Does it matter, Clement?
Hey, Ulala blind, Mavusana. Thanks for calling, Mavusana and Alex. Oh, you nearly gave me a heart attack.
And now,
it's back to Clement Maniatella.
This is 7:02.
24 minutes before 10 o'clock. E-tolls, have you been paying? Or are you one of those, like others, who may or may not be in the studio, who've got letters and letters and letters from SANRAL? How do you feel about the fact that e-tolls will be a thing of the past come midnight, vandag? AB in Pretoria, good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and how are you?
Hey, Tada.
Good, good. Clement, I owe e-tolls, 48,000. I've never paid that nonsense. And I've told myself that I'm not going to pay it. All three cars were being charged left and right. Why am I not paid? The problem is one. If you look at the proposals of the 2010 World Cup, it was indicated very clearly that would be the legacy because there would be a cash injection into the country. Therefore, it would be the legacy of the World Cup. Then we took that and said, no, we're going to benefit, and then the World Cup might come, the tourists will be here, and all those kind of things. What had happened? Few unions, even the COSATU that is merged, had e-parastatal, that had an organization that was benefiting from e-toll. Now, how do I pay for something that even the ANC was involved in terms of the Australian consortium?
Yeah.
And now we have to pay because they wanted to benefit. Few people have benefited billions out of that ETOL. Not all of us have benefited. We never wanted it. And therefore, as Africa, we tend to globalize our own economy, and that is the problem that we have. We should have dealt with that issue a long time ago. Then no one should take credit over that. No. This is the efforts of the public to say they don't want it. And no one should take any credit.
From, yeah. Take a bow, AB. Take a bow if you're a member of the public listening to us now and you were one of those that disobeyed this system. For the reasons that you have, not because you are not a law-abiding citizen, but because you were concerned about how it was implemented. Alan in Johannesburg, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning to you and the listeners. And I was highly impressed with the previous caller who backtracked so well on that, whether his story was true or not.
Well, I'm still asking myself if it was true or not, because he didn't confirm, Alan. I hope it's not true.
Yeah. But I think what's important here is that from the onset, that there were no transparency in implementing the entire system.
Mm.
So the public was not involved at all. And it wasn't a complete construction of the system. You know, a lot of the roads were previous roads that was already paid for. And then the modification of it, yes. But the entire system was virtually without the blessing of the public. They weren't allowed to give views or in any way, you know. And also, our fuel, I don't know if it still applies, but, you know, from the time when I was a youngster, you know, it had a road levy included in the fuel, which should be paying for the roads and the construction and the maintenance of the roads as such, which are up to date, you know, with all the potholes and everything else. They're slow in coming forward to modify the roads. And, you know, I've already replaced tires, which I don't think I can claim from anybody from damages sustained from these potholes. So how do we now be expected to pay for a system that we didn't condone or the public didn't have any say in it?
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, there were consultations around ETOLs, but the problem is even civil society organizations have said that wasn't sufficient. But it's not that, because any law in South Africa, it's illegal. I mean, that would be illegal. The government doesn't go and implement a law and or a bill that has not gone through public consultation. So that has happened. But was that done well? Was it sufficient? Did they take the considerations of South Africans and lawyers and other stakeholders who said this system is doomed to fail? That's the question.
Hi, morning, Clement. Clement, you are honestly living in Club Cuckooland. When you say our roads used to be congested and they're now better, nothing has changed. Peak hours, it's still gridlocks all over, whether it be the N1, the R21, the R24, whatsoever. Kilulis interchange is still a nightmare on a daily basis. And you say no, you know, the improvements have shown difference. The only difference you feel is over weekends when people are sitting at home. It's only then that one can enjoy our freeways. Otherwise, everything is still as the same as it used to be before. Robin Niger.
I don't know if that's entirely true. I really don't know if that's entirely true. I'm not saying the roads are perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the roads right now are perfect, but I'm saying they are very different to what they were in 2008 or in 2005. And I'm not suggesting that the money to improve and upgrade those roads must specifically come from the ETOLs. I mean, there are many other taxes that we pay. Government does give a budget. There's a budget for this kind of thing. But I'm saying it makes life easy. Our roads are looking much better than they used to 10, 11, 12 years ago. That's a reality. And the thing is, we live in a country where, in fact, even in the region, where road infrastructure is the preferred mode of transport. So roads need to be constantly improved. They're more, in fact, the culture in South Africa, people love driving in their cars because also we don't have a functional public transport system, really. It's not as effective as it should be. So people are spending more time on the road. So there's going to be more and more cars that are coming in on the roads. So, of course, the congestion is still going to be there because the population is increasing. But when you look at the infrastructure, the roads, what they look like now and what they used to look like 12, 15 years ago, come on. If you're not seeing the difference, aige, angaz.
Hi, Clement. I think it'd be interesting to understand from Sanral what is the proportion of counting registered plates that run through the toll gates versus all others. And then you'll quickly see how the burden is unfair.
Those e-tolls had to happen because this is just to prove that the public won't sit down and shut up if the government wants to make decisions. And it had to happen for the people in the government to learn. The first ask permission before going ahead with something. They just thought that the guys who was lining their pockets, they just thought, ach, no, let taxpayer pay for it. There won't be an outcry. Little did they know that this was going to happen. So, yeah, it had to happen. It's part of the lessons that this government and the future governments have to learn.
702.
The Clement Manyathela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, it's going up to 15 minutes before 12 o'clock. I wanted to give you an update about something. So you may have seen the Social Research Foundation has a new poll. They released the results of this poll, I think yesterday. In fact, Gabriel Mekin, who is an associate at the Social Research Foundation, was with Bongani Bima this morning just before 7 o'clock. And this new poll indicates that the ANC support is at about 37%. The new poll suggests that the MK party 14%, EFF 11%, the IFP 5%, Action SA about 2%. The DA, according to this new poll, will get about 25% of the vote. 25%. Now, that's quite interesting, because that would be an exceptional result for the DA. And then someone tweeted, this was a Tinius, TV with Tinius. He's a journalist who often tweets about various things. And he responded to the Social Research Foundation saying, the media should be aware that this poll was done by Victory Research, whose founder and managing partner is Johan van der Berg. Who is Johan van der Berg? Who is Johan van der Berg? Johan van der Berg is the DA's head of research. This is important because when the Social Research Foundation or Ipsos or the Brandhurst Foundation, when they do their polls, it's important for there to be transparency and clarity about who they're linked to. So take a listen to this conversation I had, because I hosted these survey researchers last week. I had Ipsos, I had the Brentes Foundation, I had the Social Research Foundation on the show. Gabriel Mekin, because I asked them about their links to political parties and how they manage that sometimes. This is how he responded to that.
I agree with Ray. I think that it would be, I understand where the reasoning can come in, that you worry about who's influencing these results. But, you know, as Ray said, we're putting our credibility on the line here by putting out these numbers. It is impossible. We, from the moment that the Social Research Foundation started releasing numbers, we have evidence for people to go back to after the election to point at and say either we were right or wrong. Mm. And as Ray pointed out, it's not so simple as if a poll shows that, for example, the DA is growing, that must be good for the DA. In fact, it could, as Ray suggested, be the exact opposite, that if you show growth in a party, the supporters get complacent and they don't show up.
Yeah.
But polls, the idea that polls can influence the electorate has the reasoning literally backwards, in my opinion. It's a reflection of what people believe. It isn't a way to change the beliefs of people.
Okay, so I asked the producers this morning to just go and do some work and finding out if there's a link. Guys, these things matter, right? They matter, and it doesn't matter what the research surveys say, in that, well, we are independent, we're not going to risk our credibility by being favorable towards a particular party. But it matters what links are there to some political parties. Now, Zintle is one of the producers for the Clement Magnatela show. So you went, Zintle, to go and find out if really Victory Research, which is the one that actually does the phone calls and does the surveys for the Social Research Foundation, whether that company is founded by someone who is one of the leaders or holds a senior position in the DA. What did you find?
So just to clarify, we are not sure if Victory Research does the calling for all surveys of the Social Research Foundation. Mm. But with this particular one, we did confirm with the Social Research Foundation that they worked with Victory Research. Mm. And Victory Research is owned by Johan van der Berg, who is also the head of research at the DA. And they didn't mention this in the survey that the Social Research Foundation has released. So that is the issue of contention, that it's not put out there clearly that, you know, the foundation, the company that we worked with for this research is owned or founded by someone who is actually a DA member.
And that transparency is important because there was a ruling by the Press Council about a similar thing before.
Yeah, so Action SA took News 24 and Report to the Press Council, because News 24 and Report reported on the Brenthurst Foundation poll that said that the DA would win the Western Cape. I'm not clear about the numbers, but they said the DA would have a great showing in the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. And Action SA took this to the Press Council, and the Press Council said the Brenthurst Foundation should have clarified that the DA had commissioned that poll as well, and that News 24 and Report should have also clarified in their reporting that this is a poll that was done by the Brenthurst Foundation as commissioned for by the DA.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Zintle is one of the producers for the show. I just wanted to give you that update because we raised this issue last week when I hosted Ipsos, the Social Research Foundation, and the Brenthurst Foundation. One of the questions I asked was, how do you manage this perception of bias? I mean, the Brenthurst Foundation, you know who's founded that? The Oppenheimers. Who does the Oppenheimer donate to the most out of all the parties? Take a guess. So, these things matter. The Social Research Foundation, one of the founders, or one of the heads of the foundation is someone who used to work at the Institute of Race Relations. Who used to be at the Institute of Race Relations? Helen Ziller, when she retired from politics. I'm just saying, doesn't mean that this then proves that they will do things to prop up, you know, the DA up or the ANC up or whoever they are linked to. But transparency is important. If you are going to be hiring a company that does the polls for you, and the founder of that company, one of the founders, is a head of research for the DA, at the very least, that's something you put out there as you release the poll. Was that done in this case? Transparency is important, guys.
You're with Clement Magnatela.
702.
5 minutes before 10.
Morning, Clement. I am just wondering, you are suggesting that these research companies are doing unethical things. Yes, there's a perception. Perhaps you should rather be focusing on their research methodology and interrogate that than trying to make suggestions about who's connected where and what the survey results are.
No, I've already questioned their methodology. I've had them on the show last week. I asked them about their methodology. What I'm raising now is the issue of transparency, which is what the Press Council has already ruled on. The Brentest Foundation was founded by the Oppenheimers. These are people who donate money to the DA. They fund Action SA as well. The Social Research Foundation's board chair, Franz Cronier, was with the Institute of Race Relations. That's the same one Helen Zille was briefly part of when she quit politics before she returned. The new survey that was done by the Social Research Foundation, they hired a company called Victor Research. Who founded Victor Research? Someone who is a head of research for the Democratic Alliance. I'm just saying it's important. We can question the methodology, yes. Transparency is important. Graham in Joburg, about e-tolls. Good morning.
Graham.
Hey, Graham. Have you been paying e-tolls all along?
Are you, Clement? Yeah, I've been paying e-tolls all along for a simple reason. The e-tolls aren't applicable to all roads around Gauteng.
Mm-hmm.
They're applicable to specific roads that have been, which are fantastic roads. I think they're amongst the best in the world, and we enjoy the freedom to drive on these beautiful roads, and we pay e-tolls accordingly. People who don't pay e-tolls, I don't have a particular gripe with, but I just don't think they should use the roads that I pay e-tolls on. I know it's all history now because it's been stopped, but it's like going to watch the Springboks play the All Blacks in Johannesburg, and 10,000 people who haven't paid just come in, and they come and join the crowd. And you've paid for a top price for your ticket,
yeah.
And you now have all these people cramming around you. So that's my philosophy with e-tolls. And the only question I really have to ask people is whether they get really upset when they find out that people are illegally connecting to Eskom and not paying for their electricity. Because to me, it's the same. So it's a moral equivalent. If you can't pay for the e-tolls, by all means, don't pay. But don't drive on the roads that I've paid for. That's as simple as that.
All right, Graham in Joburg, thanks for the call. Thabo in Sandton High. Hey, Thibos.
Clement, how are you?
Hey, Tata, yeah.
Sharp. Before I make my point, I just want to say the one thing that I like about your show, and I make sure I listen to it, is that one learns a lot because you are so impartial and you question everything and you put knowledge that we didn't know of in front of our eyes. And then you say to us, do what you asked with the information. But this is what's happening. And thank you for that.
Thank you, Tibos.
Moving on to my point. I've got e-tag for my cars. So now I've been paying, right? But what about the guys that have not been paying? So now, can't they at least give us some of our money back, even if it's not all of it, so that we can use it for the gantries, for the target gantries that we use on the N1s and your N3s, etc.
Money's not coming back, my friend.
Something.
It's not coming.
Then it's unfair.
Yeah.
And at some stage, you know, at some stage when Cyrus wants to come to me and says, no, Chief, you owe this much of money, I'm not going to say, but, you know, I'm a good taxpayer.
Yeah.
I pay that, I pay this, I pay that. I've even paid for those.
Yeah.
I know it's unfair. Now I regret having e-tags on.
Ish. This is how irritated he was, eh? Every time.
Like, and when you didn't have money, it would make a weird sound. You had to load it.
Oh, you guys had to load it?
Yes, you had to load it. I have the app. I have everything.
Oh, you needed an app as well?
Yeah, I have an app with money.
Yeah, we learn. Tibos, thanks for your call.